lose, buddy. We love you, preacher.
Bless you, brother Tyler.
Thank you for your courage and your boldness, son, for standing for God.
I love you, buddy. I love you all.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Tell you what, I love you all. Love you all very much. And just ain't the Holy Spirit sweet? I mean, you can't make this thing up. You can't just make this thing happen. I mean, God actually does something inside of a person, changes them, and loves people and things. And it don't happen all at once. I'm bad to think that. I want to see the super Christian immediately, but that ain't the way it is. Praise God, He does a change in you. And time goes on, and if I look back at my life and seen some things, I'd just about be ashamed. I don't think I could. There ain't no way I can stand here and talk about it. But God kept me. It's the only thing I can explain.
Amen.
Is that the Lord kept me, and that my salvation's eternal, and that the Lord did work in my heart, and that and certain sins they leave, and then some you keep battling and things with. But
that's the truth.
When we preach, we don't preach as a perfect vessel. We are not perfect.
Yes.
And odds are, whatever I'm preaching about is probably something I'm struggling about. That's how God deals with me. He has to show me things and preach because I'm struggling, and gotta help me with it.
Yes.
So I pray that what we preach about tonight, I pray God to just help me. I pray out my heart to listen to it, and God will help me through it. I'm gonna sing a song here.
Yes, sir.
And at the house, I like Kayla to lead the song because I don't never sing them right, so she keeps things orderly. But I want to sing this song 330 right here. I like this because this is like a prayer song. I like songs that's like a prayer whenever I sing it and things like that. I mean, we're not really singing to each other when we sing. We're singing to the Lord.
Amen.
And I hope God just hears this song right here while we're all singing it. And God will answer it. The Psalms was like that too. They used to have music to them, and they would sing it. And it would sometimes it was a message to people, and sometimes it was a prayer.
Uh-huh.
And I think music ought to be like that. That's
Amen.
A wonderful thing. And I just pray God to hear this as a prayer. This little song right here. So if I sing it wrong, just grip me along the way, Lord. Just hear this, God. On 3:30, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee,
yeah.
Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power,
amen.
When Thou art nigh. I need Thee.
Yeah.
Oh, I need Thee.
That's right.
Every hour I need Thee.
Bless you, Brother Tyler.
Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee.
Yeah.
I need Thee every hour in joy or pain.
That's right, Tyler.
Come quickly and abide. Or life is vain. I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Most holy one, oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed son.
Yeah.
I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We need to learn how to sing that every day, don't we?
Amen.
I need thee. That's the reason why the Bible says pray without ceasing, is because we need the Lord every second. And that when we say amen, that don't mean you have to wait until you come back to some place. Praise God. There's places that feel good for me to be able to pray at, but God is eternally with you. You ever think that God dwells in you eternally? That's the reason why we're supposed to be a vessel that's clean and a vessel that's fit for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. Praise God for that. That's what the Lord was showing through the tabernacle.
Right.
That our body now is a tabernacle. We don't pitch the tent no more.
Right.
And God don't dwell in this building. God dwells
right.
within us. I've heard so much emphasis on buildings and the church. But we are a building, and God dwells within us. Amen.
Amen.
That's a blessed thing. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. That makes me think I need to be a vessel fit for Him. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the last part there, that fourth verse, want to preach tonight on Christian soldiers. Christian soldiers. And this is not a time that we're living in for all this laziness. Ain't it strange that it seems like there's more people taking their life, there's more people not going to church, there's more people dying and going to hell, and we're doing less than what we've ever done for
Amen.
The Lord. That just don't make sense. How do you think the Lord feels
Amen,
about that?
Amen.
And I'm preaching to me, primarily first to me, Christians are lazy today. I mean, I'm talking, I believe it's saved people, but they're lazy and they're comfortable and things and couch potato Christians.
Amen.
That's what we are, just sitting, kicking our feet like nothing's going on. Ain't nobody dying and going to hell. Our loved ones is lost. Don't sit and do anything. Pray about them and everything. And I'm going to be honest with you about something. I've got lost family, and it's easy to get numb about them sometimes.
Sorry,
you know, just get numb, just let them live that way and get aggravated with them. We need a burden.
Yeah.
We need a burden for our family to keep praying for them and things like that. We shouldn't be able to sleep knowing they're lost.
Amen.
And I just got frustrated. I'll just be honest with you, but God has just burdened my heart again for my family. And I pray that I wouldn't get in a state like that and get numb towards my family and towards lost people. But pray God will help us tonight and help me. I pray God just open up my heart to hear. You know what a preacher is? He's a vessel. He's a vessel of God. I believe it's a miracle when preaching takes place. Pastor, I believe it's the golden vessel. The Holy Spirit pours the oil through, and God speaks. Now, that may not seem, but listen now, Balaam, when he was in disobedience towards God, opened up the mouth of that donkey. Now, God, that's what we are. God uses vessels like that, the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
I want to read this last part of the verse there, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Amen. Praise God for that. That he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. Now in 2 Timothy here, believe here that this is probably the last portion of writings that Paul could write before his martyrdom. He was martyred. He was beheaded with the sword. Praise God. And did he have an impact on Timothy? Well, if I remember correctly, he was beaten there by those Ephesians when he preached against that goddess that they worshiped there that day. So praise God, when he seen Paul get martyred, it gave him the strength, amen, to be able to do it. So praise the Lord for that. But he's a stirring him up. I like men like that, that when they speak to Christians, they stir them up. We ought to be stirring people up and provoking one another, not to evil, but to good works. And listen, you see people smacking each other's hind ends out there on the football field, all that crazy foolishness in this world and things. But listen, that's just a crown that's going to fade away. But brothers and sisters, listen, we've got a crown laid, but we need to be stirring one another up. We need to be cheering each other on. I've never seen a time to where we're just so happy when our brothers and sisters fall. Praise God. We need to be stirring one another up.
Amen.
And when we fall, we ought to weep, rejoice
Amen.
With our brothers and sisters when they rejoice and mourn when they mourn.
Amen.
And that's the way Christians do things. But he's stirring him up. And this isn't just to preachers to be a soldier. I don't believe this is. A lot of times we believe that preachers are the only ones who are supposed to be working for the Lord. Everybody else gets to just drive through and just life is easy. But let the preachers work. Amen. But that's not the way it's supposed to be, brothers and sisters. I like the word that he uses there because he doesn't just address the preaching here or the preacher. It says that he may please him who have chosen him. Now, there's no titles given there. This is a broad a brush to paint over any Christian,
Amen.
Any person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they have been chosen to be a soldier.
Amen.
And we don't like this classification, this name, that's given to Christians today because of what it means. But Paul, and the pastor was talking about Epaphroditus there. He talked about him that he was Some names that the Apostle Paul gives to him and other Christians there. We have the fellow laborer and we have the fellow prisoner. Uh-huh. You think about names like that about Christians anymore. A fellow prisoner. We wouldn't like to be fellows with somebody who's a prisoner, would we? But and fellow laborer. I mean, those are just unpopular terms. We want to be the Facebook champion. Yeah. We want to be have the greatest t-shirt, have our face on it in the newspaper and everything else. But these were fellow prisoners and fellow laborers. I mean, that's just, nobody wants to sign up for a thing that. Amen. When Jesus was said, take up the cross and follow me. Listen, that wasn't popular back then, but now you get something out of it in this thing. Yeah, and now we have the term soldier. And then I believe it's in the book of Philemon. It uses his son there. Fellow soldier. So we're a soldier, but praise God we got fellow soldiers. Amen. We're not alone in this thing. We've got brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're in the army of God. Right. We're soldiers and we've got fellow soldiers. Amen.
Amen.
But I want to just think about for a moment about what it means to be a true Christian. Amen. Uh-huh. What it means to be saved by the Lord. Now think about the things it talks about Christians in the Word of God. We fight the good fight of faith. We wear the armor of God. We're carrying a cross. I mean, where's laziness in any of that? Where's just sitting by? There's so much to be done for the kingdom of God in this world today. There's no time to waste. There's no time to sit down. Amen. There's work to be done. There's things that need to be done inside of this life. Amen. But I want to look at just a few things tonight. First, listen, our enlistment as a soldier, and then our duty as a soldier, our fight as a soldier, and praise God, our victory as a soldier. If we didn't have the victory, what would be the purpose in this thing? But praise God, we have the victory as a Christian soldier. I want to look first of all at our enlistment as a Christian soldier. Look at that word that it says there. It says, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. When we were saved by the grace of God, what a work took place. Something otherworldly happened when we were converted. Right. Now, listen, I don't believe you come down here and you sign some card or put your name on a piece of paper. Praise God, the Holy Spirit comes and takes that hardened heart and gives us a heart of flesh. Listen, that's a picture. Our heart is hardened towards God like stone. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, a heart that beats to the rhythm of God. Amen. The law of God written upon our heart. There's things that were not even preached to me that when I become a Christian began to be convicted about. I'd hear a song and nobody preached against that. But God put the rhythm in my heart to righteousness. Praise God for that. I've got somebody living in me that's stronger than me. Praise God, that's stronger than any enemy I face. But we're enlisted as a soldier. He chose us to be soldiers. When we come to the Master, He puts us in a uniform as a disciple. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad to bear His banner. Listen, the children of Israel, listen, they were soldiers, they were men, listen, that bare the sword and the shield and armor. They were soldiers, and praise God, we are soldiers, listen, in this army to bear His name. Listen, we're not enlisted in this thing to kick our feet up, but we're enlisted as men and women to fight. To fight a fight of faith. And that's what we are, brother, is soldiers in the army of God. And we're identified in Him. I tell you this, listen, let's pray for our brother newly saved, because now the mark's on him. The devil will be after him. But praise God, listen, we're not in this thing alone. We're identified in Christ. Praise God. you don't enter this thing. Listen, without entering into a fight, brothers and sisters, we're chosen to be a soldier. And that what's our duty? What's our duty as a soldier? Listen, there's things that need to be done for God. There is. There's work that needs to be done. But I think sometimes, listen, that we get what is a second rate importance and we make it the primary thing. Amen. Let me tell you something. It's easier to go and do some wild, big, crazy thing for God in a moment. Than it is to faithfully, day by day, to honor God. There's people who go to church two times a year. They'll do some wild, fanatical thing, and it's easier to go and put on your missionary backpack and walk out and do something crazy and then live on the outskirts of the battlefield the rest of the year. It's harder to go day by day, faithfully, continually following after the Lord. Praise God. Listen, God just wants us to be faithful. Amen. But what's our duty? I tell you this. Listen, this is our primary duty. What does it say here? That He may please Him. Listen, you're not a soldier to please your brothers and sisters in the Lord, because you ain't going to please them. Praise God. They couldn't please each other. The apostles couldn't. Who's the greatest among us? Listen, brothers and sisters, you cannot please everybody. Christians, as a matter of fact, cannot please this world. Our primary duty is to please Him. And listen, what comes before the Word is a devotion. Listen, why do we use the term devotional? Have devotional time every day. Because our devotion, and this is to me right here, my devotion is not to this book. My devotion is to Christ. And listen, there was time I used to not read, even as an early preacher. I never read the Word of God, hardly ever. I opened up that Bible, I pulled out a word, thank God was going to bless me. Listen, and when God started to bless me, to read His Word, and my devotion, the devil will get you in so many ways. And my devotion went to the book instead of Him. Listen, we have to have devotion to Christ, to His person. Look at the beginning of that verse. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Listen, if you're going to have devotion to Christ, listen, you can't be tangled up by the affairs of this life. Listen, a soldier's got discipline. The children of Israel, listen, they did not fight for the sake of the name of Israel. They did not fight so Israel could be glorified. But when David stood, he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Our devotion, listen, primarily is not to even our church, but to Christ. I'm here tonight. Primarily for Christ. Listen, to have devotion to Him. Listen, when a soldier joins this military in our country, they have devotion to this country. But I tell you, Christ is not that way. He, our captain, the Bible says, the captain of your soul, the captain of our soul, what's our devotion? Not to be to the Baptist, listen, but to Him, to love Christ with all of our mind. I can't have one foot here tangled around this affection and another one wrapped up here. He has all of me or none of me. Listen, our primary devotion is to the person of Christ, to dwell with Him in prayer. I tell you, listen, if you're going to do something for God, if singing's all that keeps you going, you're not going to make it. Listen, if preaching's all that keeps us going, we won't make it. There's got to be something that's more fiery in your soul than that. And listen, our passion has to be Christ. How do you think that Paul laid down his head at that stake? How do you think Stephen was stoned? Because he seen one standing on the right hand of God. We need something more to drive us than just what we do, but who we serve. Amen. And secondly, we please Him by devotion to Him and unwavering obedience. Listen, we can only please Him by faith. And true faith always has works. Amen. But in John chapter 14, verse 21, beginning of the verse, it says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Whatever hill has to be climbed, you saddle up and you climb it. And listen, whatever valley you have to walk through, you walk through it. Whatever soul needs to be won, you win them. Whatever song needs to be sung, you sing it. Whatever there is to be done for God, you do it with all your might to the glory of God, for the love of God. If we love the Lord, we'll be obedient to Him. And listen, brothers and sisters, He who has saved us has given us a work. And listen, amen. It ain't the missionary's job alone to go and reach those souls. When we clock in at work, when we visit our families, there's souls to be won. There's work to be done. I tell you this, the Lord wants us to be faithful unto His name. The Bible says, listen to that church. He said they was going to be in prison 10 days. But He said, "Be faithful unto death, and I shall give to thee a crown of life." Fight and go on and obey the Lord.
Amen. Amen, son.
Let me ask you something. Do you think that the generals of the United States military is going to tolerate disobedience?
No, they won't.
Now, how much more is the risen Christ going to tolerate ours? Hey, listen, I'm not saying, that we're not saved. If we know the Lord and we love, sometimes we're going to be disobedient and that'll hurt us. But the Lord will still not tolerate that. He'll withdraw His Spirit for a moment. Did you know that? He will just for a moment. He'll dwell within you in that new covenant birth that He's given us. But the closeness and the fellowship of the Spirit, God will withdraw for a moment. And you'll learn to be more obedient. Amen. I tell you this, there's consequences for being disobedient. I believe in the eternity of my salvation, but I believe there's consequences for my sin. I believe there is. And God has shown us that we need to be faithful and to be obedient.
Amen.
You don't have to. Let me tell you something. Let me just, by the power of the Spirit, to free some of you all tonight. You don't have to be smart.
No.
You don't have to be rich.
No.
You don't have to be popular.
No.
You just have to please God.
Amen.
Amen. Don't they just free some of you? Don't have to please the boss. Don't have to please nobody. Just please God. Uh-huh. And if you please God, those that are pleasing God with you will be satisfied in that. Amen. If you start pleasing God, those who aren't trying to please God, they won't be satisfied. But if you keep pleasing the Lord, those that are pleasing the Lord ain't going to give you no trouble, but they're going to say, "Amen. I'm trying to do the same thing." Praise God. This thing ain't complicated. What thus saith the Word of God? Keep it and do that. Now then, us third, let's look at what our fight is. We're in a fight. Did you all know that? Did you all know that we are in a bloody, gut-wrenching, down in the trenches fight on the front lines? And here's the thing. We might be in the very last bit of it right now. I don't know that to be for certain. But I tell you what. Look around, brothers and sisters. We might be in that final strand. Praise God. And we might be in that time where the dead in Christ arise first. And those that are alive and remain. Listen, we'll go up and be with them. And let me tell you something. But know this. The rapture is not an excuse for laziness. Amen. I recently read a book by John Rice. I don't know much about his doctrine and everything. He seemed like a pretty good man. And he was talking about how the great sin of Christians using the last days for laziness. Amen. We're living in the last days. When's the last time you led a soul to the
the Lord. We're living in the last days. Well, how much tithes are given? If we're living in the last days, what use do you have for money? Amen.
Oh, yeah.
If you're living in the last days, why are you driving around that $50,000 car that you don't need? Amen.
Bro.
I'm just asking. Yeah. I mean, let me tell you something. I'm the same way. I told my wife, I said, I believe I've been sinning against God for saying we're living in the last days. Where's my life show that? Amen.
Yeah.
If we thought the Lord Jesus Christ was to sound at any moment, we'd run with all of our might for the glory of God. Amen. But if we are living in the last times, praise the Lord, it's looking a lot better.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But that does. Doesn't mean the work ceases.
Is there, no,
I don't mean to get on this, but I just want to say this.
Listen,
the last days is not to prompt us laziness. Amen. I've never heard so much talk about it. And where's the work being done for God?
Brother, that's right.
Amen. They don't mean that. It just sounds smart. It sounds prophetic. It gets some likes on stuff and everything like that, but their life don't show it.
Yeah.
Amen. That big expensive Rolex around their wrist right there while they're telling you all that. They don't care nothing about the last days.
No.
I believe, I'm going to tell you this. I believe there's going to be men that are going to stand up and use that, and they're going to use it for filthy lucre's sake to get money, to get women, and I just believe that. And I'm just telling you. It may not be popular, but I believe it's true.
Yeah,
Lord,
true.
Use that however you want to. Amen.
That's right, son.
But we are in a fight. Did y'all know that? And guess what? We got enemies. Amen. Well, I become a Christian. Everybody likes me. I'm friends with everybody. I'm nice. I'm the humble one in the room. I'm the one that carries around my Bible. Everybody loves me. No, you're living in a fantasy land. We have enemies. We have enemies. And I really believe, though, you know what the devil will do? The devil will broaden that brush. Who are those? I believe we only really got two. I believe we really just got two. Here's the first one, Satan. Amen. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of us.
Amen.
Satan is our enemy. He is going to fight us with everything he's got from the beginning to the very end. And in Ephesians chapter 6, let's look here. Ephesians chapter 6, if we look here in verses 11 through 12, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, that word there means trickery, of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So guess what? That tells you, your spouse ain't your enemy. The person who lives across from you is not your enemy. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you know that the Democratic Party is not our enemy?
That's right.
Amen. Some Christians think that God's called them to fight some kind of political fight against those who oppose conservative Christianity.
Amen.
Lord God help them. Listen, that's a fight you ain't ever going to win. Amen. The Lord, let me tell you this too. The Lord has not called the Christians to raise up and revolt against the government of this world. We're supposed to pray for those in authority,
Amen.
No matter who they are, because that's the way that God has called Christians to live.
That's right.
Amen. And that's free for you. But now let me tell you this. We're fighting against the devil.
Yeah.
We're fighting against spirit. You see, when the devil, whenever he disobeyed and was cast down, a third of heaven was cast down with him. And that ought to tell you how persuasive this wicked one is, that a third of heaven came down with him. And those demons, these fallen angels, they work inside the world. They know every Christian. They know where they go to church. They know where they live. They know when their prayer time is. They know when their Bible study is. He fights preaching. He fights prayer. Anything good, the devil is there. With every good thing you do, whenever you have a victory in the Lord, there will be a parallel temptation of pride along with that. Did you know that every time that you do something good for God, there's going to be a temptation to broadcast it and tell somebody about it? Did you know that too? Ain't that the devil never stops. You do something good and there's a temptation for evil along with it. And then if you fail, he'll magnify the judgment of God and diminish the mercy of God to your heart. Then you think about how cunning that the devil is. And listen, I don't have a hard time. This is just me accepting that the Lord's going to judge sin. God help me. What I struggle with the most is trying to fathom that God loves me, is willing to forgive me. I told my wife, I said, I don't even feel like I'm worthy enough to get my clothes on and go to church tonight. And listen, and that's what the devil would do to you. But let me tell you something, my friend. We got to know what we know. We got to have our feet set on the rock and rooted in truth.
Amen.
Praise God. The devil will fight your thoughts. He'll fight your mind. And listen, I feel like I've never failed. And more it took of my heart and my mind than I ever have. But listen, you listen to me. Paul said, there was a thorn in my flesh. I besought 3 times that he would remove it. But listen, you know what Jesus said? He didn't say, I'm going to take away that temptation. Paul, there you go. It's gone. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Praise God. When that wicked one comes, I'm glad that in Luke 4, that in the wilderness by the Spirit, that Christ 3 times, listen, quoted the word of God, and he fled. And I'm glad, brothers and sisters, that at his name, he must flee then and there. Praise God.
Amen.
We're fighting the devil. And he will put a name of a person always before you as your enemy when it's not of this world.
Yeah,
amen. That's the reason why a lot of homes fail is because they think their spouse is their enemy and it's not.
That's right.
It's a spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
We're blinded to spiritual things. There ain't no fasting. There ain't no prayer. That's why.
Yeah.
Because we're not spiritually minded.
That's right. That's right.
They said in Acts, they prayed and fasted and the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me.
Uh-huh.
Saul and Barnabas for my work.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
So. I believe the Word of God speaking. I believe the Holy Spirit will use God's Word. And we need to be spiritually minded about things. And we'll know. Amen.
Yes.
That's my prayer. God, help me to be more in tune with what is spiritual and try the spirits. Amen. He'll be somebody in work. You'll hinder your testimony.
Yes.
And the devil will always do that to you.
Sure
you mark
will,
it down.
Father.
He sure will. But here's our second enemy is the flesh.
Yes.
This right here.
Oh,
is this saved?
No.
Is this saved?
No.
Is this flesh right here been tasted of the new birth? If not, we'd everyone have resurrected bodies.
Yes.
We would not age. We'd be perfected in this life. Amen.
Yes,
but this gets old and it wears down.
Yes,
because on the inner part of who we are, our spirit has been quickened, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We're given a new nature on the inside of who we are. Now, here's the war that we fight, and this is our sanctification as Christians. The Bible says you're sanctified, and then another one says you're being sanctified. Why does it say that? The work of sanctification is going to be done, but it's your responsibility by the Spirit of God to work it out, your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. I hope I said that right. But
amen.
But what we look at here when we're dealing with the flesh, let's look here at Galatians 5, verse 17 there. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit, capital S there, against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So what we battle as Christians is not this overwhelming desire to sin, but it is a war of this new nature given to us by the Holy Spirit against this flesh. Every time we want to do good, there's also a longing to do evil. Every time we wish to do something in sincerity, there's a way to do it in vanity. There's always this war. The word lusteth there means drive against. So your Christian life, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, from the moment you're converted to the moment you take your last breath, is a war between the flesh and the spirit.
Amen.
And you know what we do all the time with the devil? That old devil, he may tell you something. The devil can tempt you. The devil can lie to you. He can deceive you. But guess what he can't do? Grab a hold of that old hand and make you do it. Grab a hold of that mind and make you think it. Let me tell you something, my friend. If we sin, listen, it wasn't brother or sister or that old devil. We did it. It was us. It was our flesh. And it is sin. And Romans, this is something, a work we put to great neglect in the Christian life. It's why we don't see revival. It's why we don't see souls saved. Because in Romans 8:13, it says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And listen, the children of Israel, they got that sword, and they went and they slew the Canaanites. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. It's our responsibility as the children of God to pick up the sword of the Spirit, cut down every sin, cut down every act of disobedience, that we may be holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. The war you're going to fight every day is the war of sin. And the Christians ought to have victory authority over sin. By the Spirit, how do you do it? Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, and you shall bring forth much fruit. This is how you live holy. You say you are God. I'm yours. You dwell in prayer and God's word and live a life in the fullness of the Spirit.
Amen, Tyler.
Now, Stephen was a man who was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And when they sat him down to accuse him, even those that killed him, there was something about him they just couldn't. They said, why was he shining like an angel?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to be so full of the Holy Ghost that even your enemy said, he's full.
Oh, yeah.
He's full. It's all over. I've got around some old saints of God. They ain't the most popular. They ain't the most smart. But, brother, they're covered. In the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to live a life like that. Amen. Where we're shining in the glory of God. Moses, he wasn't preaching. Listen, he was on a mountain wrestling with God. Hearing from God. And when he got off the mountain, his face was shining so bright. And he had to put a veil over him.
Amen.
The church ought to be shining with the glory of God.
Tell it, son.
You know why you don't win souls when you go to work? Because you're, instead of being shined about with the Lord Jesus Christ, Netflix, your phone, and everything else.
Hell yeah.
That's all they see.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. It ought to do us good some nights to go in with not an hour of sleep be going in, and our face shone about by the glory of God, by dwelling in His presence, having victory over prayer.
Uh-huh.
Jacob didn't go over there to Esau until he rested all night and got his hip thrown out of joint.
Yeah,
by the Lord.
Got broke.
Amen. We need to get broke.
That's good preaching.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord for that. And then look what it says here in 2 Timothy 2:3 here.
Uh-huh.
2 Timothy 2:3. It says, thou therefore endure
hardness
as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Oh yeah.
There is the Christian's least favorite word.
Oh yeah.
And my least favorite word. Endure.
Uh-huh.
That word's long.
Yeah.
All right. I'm saved now. Where's heaven?
Yeah.
No, it don't work that way, does it?
Jesus,
endure. That's a long. You know what that means? A continual fight.
Uh-huh.
Did you fight the devil yesterday? Well, hang on, you're going to fight him tomorrow.
That's right.
Did you fight against sin yesterday? Well, hang on. Trust in the Lord, you're going to fight again today.
Uh-huh.
We're going to fight every day until we take our last breath. It's not going to be easy. The Christian life is not easy. Endure hardness.
Amen.
People are going to break your heart. You're going to lose relationships. You're
going to
be called a hypocrite. You're going to be called judgmental.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be called too soft. You're going to be called this way and that way. From the moment you get saved to the very end.
Battle, brother.
Amen.
But fight with all your might. Carry the cross.
Yeah.
Listen, we need to be tough in this time. Strong in the Lord.
Right.
Tyler's not strong. But I praise God for what he told Timothy there. He said, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Praise God, we need to be strong in grace.
Right.
But the last thing I want to look at tonight as we're coming to a close is our victory as a soldier. Amen. A lot of times soldiers go in unknown about the outcome and unknown about the victory. Praise God. But I want to talk to you just really quick about the source of our victory and the surety of our victory. The source of our victory. Let me tell you something. The source of our victory. And I've heard, I need to get this kind of Bible with lambskin and it needs to have cross reference and everything like that. You're going to fight against it and say, all right, devil, here's my cross reference. And fight and try to win some lost soul and say, you look at this lambskin here in my Bible. Amen. Just silliness. Amen. Or what kind of CDs you got in the car? I mean, listen, let me tell you something, my friends. The victory is not in you and I. And that encourages me. Praise God, the church gets dwindled down to just two or three. The victory is not in us. Praise God. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The trumpet of God sounded on that third day when the Lord got up from the grave. If we died with Christ, we should live with Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. The victory is in the risen Christ.
Amen.
And praise God.
Amen.
When we got saved, we got the victory.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He said, I went down and got the keys of death and hell. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. But listen, you know what's wonderful about the Christian life? The battle is after the victory.
Amen.
The battle's after. Amen. Amen. The victory's already been won. The Lord just says, go and fight.
That's right,
go and fight. I've already won.
Yeah.
And then the surety of the victory. I want to look in a place you might not think about that in Revelation 20, 7 through 10.
Uh-huh.
The verbs in here. The verbs that it's used in Revelation chapter. This is really important here.
Tell it.
Amen. I was ransomed, bro. I don't know if they are brothers. I pray God to help them. You're not supposed to read the book of Revelation. You're not supposed to preach out of it. Not supposed to read it. God don't want it. Well, guess what? 66
God,
books
yeah.
inspired by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
It is the Word of God.
The Word of God.
Amen.
But look right in here. This is that last time after the millennial kingdom here where it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
Uh-huh.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You say, how's that the surety of our victory? This is Satan's last attempt. This is his last fight. Listen, people say, oh, if I've seen the Lord, I believe. Well, after his resurrection, some saw him, believe not. Some during the millennial kingdom shall believe not. But listen, this is Satan battling against the Lord. Listen, and the Bible says, listen, it uses these words. This is what encourages me. It says, they went up, compassed, came down, devoured, was cast. Listen, those are past tense words. Those are, they've already been done. In the book of Isaiah, it says, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the Bible says he was bruised. Listen, before Christ died, the words were written in the account of God's word as though they'd already happened. And inside of this book, Satan's end is already sealed.
And
it is the decree of God that liar's going to be cast in the lake of fire. Those that do not believe in him will be cast with him. His fate is sealed.
Amen.
And so is our victory.
Right.
Sealed until the day of redemption.
That's right,
amen.
And it's got a couple thoughts of application here. Christian, how have you been fighting already?
Yes.
What's your career as a soldier for the Lord?
Tell it, Tyler.
Have you been fighting? Let me ask you this. Spirit bears witness what the pastor was talking about, the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Because you stand before the captain right now and say, Lord, I did all that I should do as a soldier.
God, help us.
No.
Most of us wouldn't say that.
I'll try.
I wouldn't say it. I would not.
No, sir.
Right now, if the Lord Jesus Christ come here, the captain of your soul, how would you stand as a soldier?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Some soldiers after the battle, they come out and they say, oh, with great honor and integrity, you fought for this country.
Yes.
How have you fought as a Christian? How many souls have you passed by? Have you neglected the captain? How have you fought, Christian?
Yes.
And whoever may be listening, whether here or through the means of technology we're using,
tell it, Tyler.
If you're unconverted, do you realize you're the enemy of God?
That's right. You're against them.
This victorious king, the one who rides upon a white horse, whose eyes are a flame of fire, you're his enemy.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to lose on that day.
Amen.
But you know what's wonderful about the captain? He died for the souls of his enemies.
Amen.
We were his enemies.
Amen.
He brought us over to the side of victory. Amen. Those who hated him and their sin, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price that all of his enemies may be reconciled to the Father,
yes.
Made sons of God, and heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Ain't that an amazing thing?
Amen.
Come on the winning side. I don't know who that was. What was that man's name who sang that song? I'm on the winning side. I wish somebody would go home and learn that song and come down here and sing it. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
That would encourage me.
Amen.
I'm on the winning
we
side.
Are,
amen. I pray God to use that to help you all tonight. I want to be a good soldier. Amen. Notice it says a good soldier. We want to be a good soldier. Pastor, go ahead.
Amen. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Wonderful message, Brother Tyler.